Hallelujah. I mean, he was an interesting character. Miracle worker, if you go back in history and even evaluate his writings. He wrote down the miracles, raising people from the dead, so on and so forth. And people don't know that. He was put in slavery and finally got away from that, and so on and so forth. And then, where was it, Ireland? He went to Ireland and just rocked that whole nation for Christianity. It's a powerful, powerful testimony. We'll talk to him when we get to heaven. Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, let's put our eyes on verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that word saved means way more than escaping hell, having sin forgiven, being born again. It's all inclusive. 16 July 1988, 2:30 in the afternoon, in the middle of a divorce with Mama Alberta. 14-year drug addict, drunk, locked up 20 times, looking at Jesus found me and transformed me, and I've never looked back. What 5 drug programs couldn't do, what the military couldn't do, what my family, friends, wife, myself couldn't do, Jesus did in a moment of time. And then shortly after that, called me into the ministry. I simply called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Notice that the gospel, the rewards of the good news, is not something that's dropped in your lap. There's obedience required, contrary to what Goofy Grace wants to tell you. There's obedience that is required. When they say Jesus did it all, he paid the price on the cross for sin. But we read right here, how can they hear without a preacher? So the preacher had to obey the call, right? And then he had to preach what God gave him, right? And then the person that heard the preaching has to respond, right? And it says here, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? I just believe I got a whole bunch of folk in here this morning that you believe the report of the Lord. From Genesis to Revelation, you believe this Bible. You know, there's an attack on the Word of God that it's not relevant for today. And that, you know, the preaching or going to church is old-fashioned. That I don't have to do that. I can just stay at home and it's me and Jesus. Well, apparently you don't know what the Bible says. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourself, so much the more as you see that day approaching. And there's something about, see, that's a selfish even thought to stay home by yourself anyways. Because you're bringing something to the table. Come on now. I mean, if we're having a church picnic and you stay at home and you want food brought to you, you didn't send nothing in, and you just want food brought to you, come on now. No, when we come together, we're bringing something to the table. When we were just praising and worshiping the Lord, we all in our own way were bringing something to the table. Are you following this? And when we're meeting and greeting each other, we're smiling at one another. We're saying kind things, hopefully, one to another, right? I can't govern every conversation that goes on in this church, but I'm just trusting that it's sweet communion. Hallelujah. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, when you get together, iron sharpens iron, right? And so it says here in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is not your belief that there's a God. Faith is not your belief that the Bible is true. The Bible says in Romans 3:27 that faith is a spiritual law. It's the law of faith. It is what governs the unseen realm in which one day you're going to take your last breath, if Jesus should tarry, and you're going to step over into that unseen realm. The unseen realm sees into the seen realm, right? Right now, there's angels in this facility. You can't see them unless God was to open your eyes to them, but they're here, see? But this faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when the Word of God is being taught, faith is inside you. That's your belief system, your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the real you. That's what's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell, right? People don't want to hear about hell these days. It's still there, right? And it's something, there's preachers that preach that there is no hell. How would a good God send anybody to hell? He don't send nobody to hell. The only person he sent to hell was Jesus, and he paid the price. He went into hell and defeated death, hell, and the grave. Come on. So that you and I can live this abundant life that he has provided. Jesus said, John 10:10, it's the thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and with that life have it more abundantly. See? So faith is not this, the name of your denomination. It's not the belief that there's a God out there somewhere. It is a spiritual law, and the just shall live by the law of faith. We're to live by it. So there are laws in this unseen realm that govern that kingdom. The Bible says you and I have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. You're not waiting to die to go into the kingdom. Once you accepted Jesus as your personal savior, bam, you were born again into the kingdom of God, except you didn't know that. That's why you got to come to church and learn these things. This is school. This is where you're supposed to be taught, not where you're supposed to come and look for a spouse. Hallelujah. Come on now. This is not where you're supposed to come and pass your business cards around. Hallelujah. This is school. This is a training center. This is how we're going to teach you how to live victorious throughout the week, right? And the only way you're going to do that is by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Faith is not, God's not up there like, well, they got to live by faith to please me. No, what pleases God is when you and I live by faith, he can reward us. He can get the benefits. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, see? And so he has a benefit package that goes with our salvation. Don't start your watches. Don't start them, right? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more you and I hear the Word of God, the more faith increases within us. When you got born again, you were given the measure of faith. You didn't get more than me. I didn't get more than you. Everyone got the same amount of faith. Romans 12, I think it's verse 3, right? And so what you do with that faith, the Bible says that your faith can grow in 1 Thessalonians. So the more you develop your faith, the more you're becoming a professional faith person, a Christian, living by faith, the more you're going to see God's goodness established in your life. Because it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises, right? So faith is vital, vital for you walking in victory. 1 John 5:4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See? So when I was raised a good United Methodist boy, but we weren't taught the law of faith. We weren't taught any of that. And consequently, we lived defeated lives. And it wasn't God's fault. But we blamed God. We said, well, you know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. God works in mysterious ways. His wonders do perform. Well, his ways are mysterious if you're never in the book. But when you're in the book, Jesus said, these things are written in mysteries, but not unto you. They'll be revealed unto you, right? And, you know, well, God's in control. God's only in control. If God's in control of what this planet's going through, heaven is going to be a traffic jam. Come on now. God's only in control of what you and I give him control over. See? And so we have these escape goats in the religious community to somehow get rid of the responsibility that we're supposed to live by faith and learn how the laws of the kingdom operate, the law of love, the law of liberty, the law of seed time and harvest, the law of faith, and on and on and on. See? And you can be a lawbreaker with your cute Christian self and not even know it. And because you're breaking laws, God can't do nothing for you. I was a lawbreaker. Yes, I was. And, you know, I got away with it for a while. But, you know, it caught up with me. You cannot outrun the long arm of the law. Hallelujah. And there I am again, handcuffed in the back of the cruiser, back to jail, see, and back in front of the judge, on and on and on and on. We're in the kingdom. There's a bunch of lawbreakers. See, you can break the law and not know it. You can be in a 35-mile-per-hour speed zone, and you're doing 55. And all of a sudden, you got blue lights in your rearview mirror. And they pull you over, and they say, I got to give you a speeding ticket. For what? I was doing 55. Exactly. This is a 35. Well, I didn't see the sign. Doesn't matter. Little kids are out here playing. Right? Got to give you a ticket. And this ticket will put you on the lookout for future signs. God gives us signs. He gives us signs, right? And he'll even give you a ticket. So you'll be more attentive. Are you following what I'm saying? And so if we break the law, the laws of the kingdom, you know, the disciples came to Jesus. Don't start your watches now, remember. We're going someplace this morning. And they came to him and said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. He said, all right, here's your outline. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Don't miss this in your recital. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? on earth. How? As it is in heaven. How can it be on earth as it is in heaven when in that spirit realm it's governed by laws? The only way that can happen is we got to get in the book and find out the laws and then implement them in this earth and get heaven results here on this planet. Hallelujah. Okay. Well, yesterday I got a phone call from Dad Tilton. He was all fired up. If you're watching, Dad, I give you credit for it as many times as I need to. But he got talking to me about Lazarus. Let's go there. John chapter 11. You remember Lazarus? Lazarus, it says that he was sick. Remember that? And they send word to Jesus. In verse 3, therefore sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so, we know that Lazarus went ahead and died. Remember that? And in verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he's doing good. He shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his what? Death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, look, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You know how the story goes, right? They go to where Lazarus has been buried, and you know there's a bunch of boo-hooing going on. And Jesus says, roll away the stone. Remember that? And they say, well, you know, it's been 4 days, and he's probably decomposing by now. He's probably a stench that's going to be with that. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that you would see the resurrection life power of God? Now, they rolled away the stone, and Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth, right? And he that was dead came walking forth. Now, as somebody that has died 6 times and been raised from the dead, hallelujah, I wasn't dead 4 days. I'm not trying to break a record. I'm good. I'm in the record books. I'm good. Hallelujah, right? But the situation here is Jesus, watch this now, spoke life into a dead situation. Now follow this. When he said Lazarus is sleeping, He knew that Lazarus was dead. So there's more to it than Lazarus is sleeping, just intellectual information. Follow this. Because Jesus always had a purpose. There was always a reason why he said what he said and why he did what he did. See? And so what he was trying to get across to them was in the realm of the spirit, in 4D, that miracle is in a paused position. Good God, stay with me this morning. I'm here to tell you, your miracle that's been on pause. Is about to have resurrection life power hit it. As far as God is concerned, what looks dead is just asleep. That situation that looks dead in your family, that job situation that looks dead, that housing situation that looks dead, that transportation situation that looks dead, that pain in your body that looks like it's dead. Are you following this? Resurrection life power. Now follow this, because I need you to see this, because a lot of times the enemy, the devil, tries to wear you and I out by time. How much time has gone by, right? So, Lazarus, his name means whom God helps. It's the Greek translation of Eleazar in Hebrew, right? So, anybody want God to help them? Anybody need God to help them? Gotta have God to help you. Matter of fact, God don't show up, just take me off the planet. Let's go home. I'm ready for my mansion. No, there's something. We got to finish our course. Come on now. So Lazarus, whom God helps, in Jesus' mind, everything was in a sleep mode. It didn't matter that physically he was dead. In a sleep mode. How many of you know that you can wake your child up? Right? Time to go to school. Time to go to church. Whatever. Right? In your mind, you know that their situation, they're asleep. But you know that all it takes is a little shaking. I said a little shaking. Come on now. And all of a sudden, boom, they wake up. I'm here to tell you, God's shaking your situations. Yes, he is. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Come on now. In God's eyes, your situation is just in a sleep mode. Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was 99 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Something shifted in Abraham's comprehension of how faith worked, how believing in God works. So it wasn't that the situation was dead. It was that his faith had to wake up. Oh, my goodness. So when Dad Tilton was speaking this to me along these lines, I remembered a scripture about faith being awakened, and I told him about it, and I said, but I don't know what translation that was. And so after we got off, and I said, but I'm going to find it. When I got off the phone, Mama Alberta, she said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for this scripture." So she got helping me. And we went through everything, Bible Gateway and online this, online that, and can't find it. And I knew that I had seen this, even preached one time on it years ago. And so, I said to the Holy Ghost, "Holy Ghost, where is it? Where is it?" And I went down in the lower level. I started going through all my Bibles. I started going through everything I got. And all of a sudden, inside, go into your studio. So I went in my studio, and there was a Bible there, 26 translation Bible. I haven't opened that thing up in years, right? And I opened it up to Romans 10:17, and pow, there it was. Look up on the screen. We conclude that faith is awakened by the message. Faith is awakened by the message. When you heard the message of healing, faith woke up. When you heard the message of prosperity, faith woke up. When you heard the message of salvation, faith woke up. Are you following this? Are you with me? So we conclude that faith is awakened by hearing the Word of God. I'm giving you a wake-up call this morning. Amen. See, your faith is more powerful than you think it is. You're judging your faith by how much manifestation you have. You make a big mistake when you judge your faith by how much manifestation you have. You got more faith in what you know. You just have to be thrust into situations to see that faith. See? Follow this. That's why God will challenge you, you know, when we're taking up an offering for something, and He challenges you beyond your normal. Well, how did you do that? You had faith inside of you to go beyond. Are you following this? You had faith beyond you. Mama Alberta and I were coming to church way back in the day, and we were living at the Smithers Ranch way out there, and we were coming in. It was for an evening service, and there was a vehicle probably about 100 yards up in front of us. And this truck, the vehicle was going the same way we were, headed into town. And then there was a pickup truck coming the other way, going towards Owington, and swerving. And swerved right over and hit that car head on. Head on. Now, Mama Bird and I didn't say, "Honey, we need to pray." Yeah, it was raining, and I didn't say you do this and I'll do that, or what should we do? And so, instantly. See, you don't realize how much faith you have until you're thrust into a situation, and either fear's going to take over or faith. Now, I'm driving the car. I jump out of the car. She jumps out of the car, same time. She's running through the ditch on 127. I'm running on the road. And we both get to the car at the same time. The windows, they'd already had the windows down. And it's a bloody mess. And I just took my hand. I'm all suited up. And I just took my hand and laid it on his head, and I said, "In the name of Jesus," she's doing the same thing on the other side. Now, if somebody had said, "Okay, you need to develop your faith for head-on collisions because you never know." Okay. All right, we got to develop our faith. No, it was already there. I said it was already there. and an emergency put a demand on faith that was already there. Come on now, right? And to make a long story short, right? The man, they lived. They were a mess. They were busted up. And the man came into my office a few years later and wanted to meet me because he'd been sharing that testimony over and over again. At first, he thought it was an angel because I'm all dressed in white. I let him know I wasn't even close to an angel. I'm above an angel. Hallelujah, right? The point being, when you're thrust into an emergency, the world says, well, you know, adrenaline was flowing. Well, you know, there's such a thing as adrenaline. Yeah, I get it. But adrenaline can be backed by fear. See, what I'm trying to get you to see is you have more faith than what you know. And when there's an emergency, when something is thrown up in your face, when evil tidings come, faith responds. I'm here to tell you, in this nation, we are in a spiritual emergency. Come on now. And God is looking whether you're going to respond in faith or just whatever happens, happens. See? So you have more faith than what you know. So faith is awakened. It wakes up by the message of God. See, when you are actually hearing somebody take the word of God and preach the truth of God's word, something inside of you leaps. Even though your soul, your mind, will, and emotions might not understand it yet, something inside says, well, I don't really get that, but something inside tells me that's right. Yeah, and you understand what I'm saying? And if you knew everything that the preacher said, then why do you need a preacher? It just said, how shall they hear without a preacher, right? And how will they obey without a preacher? So something that the preacher's saying is going to change your lifestyle to where you start obeying what the Word of God preached to you, instructed, right? So obviously you didn't know it before. That's why we become doers of the Word and not hearers only. Are y'all here this morning? Okay. So faith is awakened by the message. That's the New English Bible, by the way. And when you understand that, then you recognize that any situation that appears dead, it's just in a sleeping mode. You know, on your computer, when it goes into sleep, right? Is it dead? No. It's still there, waiting for you to put some action, right, on the keyboard. Are you following this? Well, God's waiting for your faith to wake up, no matter how long it's been, how dead it looks. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Come on now. That it comes out of sleep mode because your faith, I believe faith is waking up in this here, in this church this morning. I believe God has sent me in here to get you out of sleepwalking. Yeah. Come on. You know sleepwalking, right? All of a sudden you wake up and you're on the couch. How'd I get there? Sleepwalking, right? You know, you weren't even aware of it. Well, that's physical sleepwalking. I'm talking about spiritual sleepwalking, where you're walking through life and you're thinking you're fully aware and you're governing your whole life by facts instead of truths out of God's word. Yes, we don't deny facts, but truth will change facts. It was a fact that I was a drug addict, drunk, drug dealing, womanizing criminal. And here you are listening to me now. I'm a pastor. That fact got changed by the truth of God's word. Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We're going to wake up some things. Hallelujah. Some things you even forgot about. See? Hallelujah. Should I stop? We're going to get some supernatural caffeine going this morning. Some people can't wake up without caffeine. I'm just looking. Just looking. Look at the definition for awake. Look at it. To cease sleeping, to wake up, to become aroused or active again. Come on now. Watch this. Faith without works, sleeping. It's sleeping. Watch this. It's dormant. It's not dead. It's dormant. Waiting for you to become active again. So what that you got turned down five times? That makes no difference when it comes to kingdom. Doesn't matter that the diagnosis got worse. None of that matters. I mean, it's 3D reality, right? But it's not eternal reality. It's temporary. And when you wake up to become aroused, I believe I'm getting you aroused this morning, and active again. I mean, why did you vow? Don't lose your activity with the vow, thanking God that all the spirit of the princes are cut off, that you called upon him in the day of trouble, and he'll deliver you, right? And the rest of that definition, to be conscious or aware of something. Don't lose your awareness of the kingdom in which you are operating in. If you want victory. Now, if you just want to be a nicey-nice little churchgoer, you need to go somewhere else. Here we're going to train you how to be victorious. We were singing that song a while ago, More Than a Conqueror, right? You're not more than a conqueror because you sang that song. You're more than a conqueror because you find out what the word says and you start applying it. Come on. But there's a lot of things that you've sown for. There's a lot of things you've been standing for that appear to be dead across the board. But as far as God is concerned, they're just sleeping. They're just sleeping, waiting for your faith to wake up. Waiting for your faith to wake up. Come on, waiting for your faith to wake up. Back in the day, we were living in the penthouse. Financers were screaming. And, you know, finally I just buckled down and just went wild and came out of that situation. And the Lord said, how come you always wait till you backed up into a corner before you start getting vigilant, before you start really applying yourself? See, we wait for pressure to waken up our faith instead of the season we're in to wake up our faith. Thank God that our faith wakes up no matter what. But we don't have to be backed into a corner every time. Amen. All right. Let's go here to Genesis. Chapter 28. Now Jacob, he's just been blessed by Isaac and so on and so forth, and he's left home. And it says here in verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place. It's something how you end up in a certain place, and it's like, God knew you were going to be in that place. He knew that. It wasn't God saying, I need you in that place. It's wonderful. He can give you direction like that. But he lighted upon a certain place. And all of a sudden he said, hey, this looks like a good place to hang out. I'll hang out here because it's getting nighttime, right? And he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them down for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, what's going on here is he is seeing how the connection between heaven and earth. He's seeing that. And it says in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above and said, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now remember, this is a certain place he lighted on. But it was right into the perfect will of God. You're going to find out some things that even in your journey, there are times when just because your heart's right, that God will have you in the right place. Your head might be all messed up, but because your heart was right, he'll get you in the right place at the right time with the right people, the right this, right that. He just does that, right? Because he's God, right? Right? And so there he is, and he says, I'm going to give you this land, right? And he says here in verse 15, behold, I'm with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this certain place, land, for I will not leave thee. God's not going to leave you until God has done that which he spoke to you about. Now, how many of you know it's going to be a few years for Jacob here, right? But now watch this closely. Verse 16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, this certain place that he lighted upon. And I didn't know it. I didn't know it. See, as what? Woo! God had to get to Jacob the reality of his destiny. And Jacob said, God, the Lord was in this place. I wasn't even aware of it. I didn't even know it. You can go back through your life, even when you were a heathen, in rebellion, and you can see where God's hand kept you alive in that car wreck, kept you sane through that divorce. Come on now, got you a job when nobody else was hiring. Come on, whatever the situation, right? You can look back and you wasn't even using your faith. You were just trying to make it. How much more then, when you're a child of the King, using your faith on purpose, come on, and your faith wakes up to the reality, behold, come on now, behold, he sleepeth. That house is sleeping. That vehicle is sleeping. That spouse is sleeping. Come on. That job is sleeping. We gonna hit the keys and get active. Jacob awoke out of his sleep. This is what happens when you and I wake up out of our sleep. We're going to realize God's been with us. And we didn't even know it. Come on. Now see, this is where the faith crowd has to know that he's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how we feel, no matter what it seems like, no matter how long it's been, no matter how many the bills pile up, no matter how much the pain persists, we know by faith that he is, I preach this thing, somebody won't hear it, that the Lord has always been. We just haven't been aware of it. Somebody shout or something. You were supposed to be crazy. You were supposed to have killed yourself. You were supposed to OD'd and died. You were supposed to just be this mental ill person. But God, who is rich in his mercy, somehow got to you by the prayers of somebody that knew you. Come on, somebody. God's not done with you yet. Hallelujah. See. Ephesians chapter 5. Why feel the Holy Ghost in here? Ephesians chapter 5. Your faith is being awakened. All it takes to wake up your faith that's been lying dormant is a little bit of action, a little bit of confession, a little bit of praise. Get everything rolling again. Get everything firing. Get all the cylinders firing. Come on now. Does anybody in here believe in God for big things? Bigger than your paycheck. Bigger than your ability. Bigger than your education. Bigger than your smarts. And we thank God for all that we have in this three-dimensional world. But you, as a born-again believer, have available to you the laws of the kingdom. See? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ain't supposed to be here. Me and Mama Alberta were talking about this the other day. This whole ministry was supposed to be shut down last year. And it just totally backfired in the devil's face. Totally backfired in his face. See? And I'm more determined now than I ever been. Come on now. Now, you don't have to be raised from the dead six times to get determined. Hallelujah. Just take it from me. Stir yourself up. Stir yourself up. Come on now. The best is yet to come. Your future is bright. It don't end like this. It don't stop right here. This ain't the end of the book. You're about to close that chapter, and you're about to write a new one. Glory to God. Come on, someone. Hallelujah. Waking your faith up. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. You see how the dead in Christ shall rise first? It's not talking about people that are buried. It's talking about people that are totally unaware of how the kingdom in which they are birthed into operates. But God ain't gonna let them go through the tribulation. The dead in Christ rise first. Right here, he likens a sleep, arise from the dead. Sleep and dead's two different things in three-dimensional world, right? I mean, is he dead? Shake him. He dead. Is he dead? Shake him. No, his eyes pop. Well, he's awake. He's just sleeping. But right here, awake thou that sleepest and arise from that dead place. Come on. It's not dead. Just needs you to wake up. And if you'll wake up, Christ shall light up what you are to do to see that manifestation come fully in your life. If I can get you to wake up this morning, come on now. I know you a faith bunch. I know that. Come on now. But still, how many of you could use some more light on your situation? Seven of you. How many of you could use some more light on your situation? Because when the light shines, it dispels darkness and it brings certainty, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How do you get to that place of persuasion? Christ gives you light, not a dim light. It gets brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And wherever your journey's going, God's going to light up that path. If you wake up and don't sleep any longer, realizing, watch this. When people are under heaviness, they want to sleep. When people are depressed, they want to sleep. Come on now. You seeing this? So, when we wake up, when we become more aware, wait a minute, it's my due season. This is my time. The Bible says, he that sleepeth in time of harvest, right? Right? He's stupid. I'm paraphrasing. Right? You can't sleep when it's harvest time. You went through all that planting. You went through all that weeding. You went through all that cultivating. You went through all protecting your harvest. And there it is, the full corn in there, and you gonna sleep? I believe you're getting stirred up this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. You need to thank Dad Tilton for that phone call. Right? Well, that's what happened over in Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, and let's look at verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were what? Were heavy with sleep. Now, how many of you know this is, they call it the Mount of Transfiguration, right? How many of you know this was in manifestation in the 3D? All they have to do is be awake. It's not that they had to pray in tongues for 10 hours, fast for 40 days. All they had to do, Elder Trish, was to be awake. Now, this ought to tell us something, that when God's about to transfigure your life, when things are about to change, when heaven is about to manifest in this earth dimension, that you're going to have a tendency to be hit with a heaviness that just wants to pull you into sleeping, whether it's physical or spiritual or both. Yeah, it's good. The alarm clock is going off this morning. Wake up! Hallelujah. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, then they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. When they woke up. When they woke up. Romans 13. Is anybody getting anything out of this morning? Glory, glory. Your situation may be dead in this three-dimensional world, but all you have to do is wake up your fourth-dimensional faith. It's there. It's there. Romans 13. And verse 11. And knowing the time. And knowing the time. Knowing the time. First thing you do when you wake up. You look and see what time it is. See if you can sleep longer. Don't look at me like that, all holy. Hit the snooze button. That's what the problem with the body of Christ. We just keep hitting the snooze button instead of waking up. Knowing the time. I mean, we do everything by time. You're in this gathering this morning because we start at 10:30. right? If we started at 2:30 this afternoon, right, then you ahead of time. See, you go to work on time. Your kids to school on time, right? I don't like being late. I don't like being late for nothing, right? And have you ever had somebody that's consistently late? I mean, their last name Smither. They always showing up late. What's the deal? This is way back yonder. They don't do that now. And they always showing up to prayer late, showing up to church late, showing up. I go to their house, and the clock on the stove is 20 minutes ahead. Why don't you adjust your clock? Well, that's so we won't be late. You're still late. You've really been late. Oh, my goodness. They are on time people now. Hallelujah. Right? No, when you tell somebody 2 o'clock, right, that you're going to meet them at 2 o'clock, what does that mean? Anything in the afternoon sometime? Well, that's mid-afternoon, you know, just mid-afternoon. No. Try that in the military. See how far you get. Hallelujah. Right? But knowing the time, that now it's high time. It's about high time you woke up. Come on now. That's that old language I was raised on. About high time you get ready. Right? It's high time to wake out of sleep for now. Now. In the time we're in. Now is our manifestation. Our salvation is nearer than when we first released our faith, than when we first believed. So don't let the devil say, look how long it's been. Tell the devil, look how short it is. I got all that behind me. I'm a whole lot closer than I ever been. Come on now. Hallelujah. Okay, I just got hungry. Look at this in Isaiah 52. Let me take you just a couple more places, all right? You've been a good class this morning. I'll give you some free time. Isaiah 52, are you there? Verse number 1. Awake. Awake. When God has to say it twice, that means the first time you didn't wake up. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. Now, when you wake up, when you wake up, you don't need to be going through your day in your PJs. Like I see some people. What's this thing going on? People are wearing pajamas out there in public now. Is that a trend or something? Did I miss? I didn't get the memo? What's the deal? Put some clothes on. We don't see all that. You're sealing the deal. Oh, okay. Your faith is waking up. Praise God. It says, put on your beautiful garments. Put on your strength. In other words, it says, awake to righteousness. Awake to righteousness, your new creation realities, and sin not. In other words, wake up to 4D and don't get caught in the 3D. Are you following? So it says, wake up and put on your beautiful garments. This ain't a pajama party. Come on now. Some of y'all situations are serious. I mean, some of them are life and death. Some of them are, you need God to show up in your finances or whatever it may be. It's a big deal, right? What kind of result you get is going to affect your family. It's going to affect your circle of influence. So when you wake up, aren't you glad you're not in the clothes that you woke up in? Three of you. maybe it's what you slept in. I don't think so. So you changed your clothes to leave the house. Right? When I get home from working, this is my work right now. These are my work clothes. Right? I can't wait to get out of them. Right? And what I put on is not what I would preach in. Right? Get the point. He's telling us to wake up. Right? And put on your beautiful garments. Your garments of salvation. Remember Friday night, the whole armor of God? Come on. Right? So waking up is one thing to wake up. It's another thing to get dressed and walk in that awareness. All right. I think a bunch of y'all are hungry too. Let's go one more place, all right? One more place. Proverbs 6. We'll close right there. Getting your faith woke up this morning. Proverbs 6. We conclude that faith is awakened by the message. Thank you, Lord. Some of you haven't been asleep. You've just been drowsy. Drowsy. Come on. In the spirit. You ever notice how you go read the Bible? And you start nodding? Come on. Why? Because that's the light. Enemy's trying to keep you from the light. What do they call that? Sleep, what is it? Apnea? Is that apnea? Sleep apnea. Right? There was a man in Kwajalein, his name Dudley. And Dudley, he fed the birds. He'd take bird seed and come to the flight line, throw bird seed out there. All the birds, he knew them by name. He could tell you what they looked like. He had one peg leg. Remember peg leg? Only had one leg. And he would feed the birds. And then a new colonel came in and sent word down that we can't be feeding the birds on the flight line. Well, there ain't no jets there. These are props, right? And so they tell Dudley to do that. And I'm running my shift, and here comes Dudley. Dudley walks in my office, got a big sack. And he said, I don't care what they say. I said, I don't either. I'm going to feed the birds. And so he'd feed the birds. Well, he had that sleep apnea. And so Dudley can be outside, and you'd be talking to him, and all of a sudden, he come to Alberta's birthday party at the club. Huh? Well, what's happened? What's it? Narcolepsy. Okay. Narcolepsy. Anything ends in lepsy like that. Excuse me. So Dudley comes to Alberta's birthday party, and, you know, we got the cake out there. We're in the club, you know, steak and lobster, you know, and so on and so forth. And Dudley's over just laughing and talking. All of a sudden, I said, "What? He ain't died, did he?" No, Dudley got the sleeping thing. See, I don't think anybody knew what it was called then. Narcolepsy. Well, listen, we redeemed from that physically and spiritually, right, folks. We got to be aware of where we're at, what season we're in. I can't go home with you. See, I can't be waking you up throughout your day saying, hey, whoa, you got a big harvest there. You got to be doing that. That's up to you. See, and there's a lot of things that are waking up in here. There's a lot of seed that you've sown that's just been laying there dormant. Come on now. It's coming back to life. We're going to get this harvest in. And you got to work with me. Come on. You got to do your part. I can't harvest all everyone's harvest in here. I'm working on our personal harvest and this ministry. Right? Hallelujah. Okay. Are you in Proverbs 6? Let's look at verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them. And that law is the word of God. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When you go, the word shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Now, this is what I've been talking about a while ago when I said you can look back through your life and see where God's hand showed up even when you were asleep. I'm talking about spiritually, right? But it goes on to say, but when you wake up, it'll talk with you. Folks, your direction, your wisdom for your situation is just waking up. Waking up, he'll give you light. The word will talk to you. He will instruct you. See, a lot of you are just one instruction away from your miracle. Come on, all you need to know is what God is saying to you right now. And a lot of times, there's a series of instructions that God orders your steps, plural, to get you to a place, but there comes a time when the steps is just one more. Boy, I feel this. One more step. Oh, just one more step. You a step away from your miracle. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, if you ain't got it, you need to listen to it about three or four times to get it. I didn't see anybody sleeping this morning. This would not have been a message you'd want to fall asleep on. Hallelujah. Are you understanding this? You're so close. It's high time. You're nearer than you've ever been before. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Ed, play a little something up there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.